See everyone here this morning. Good to be here myself, and I invite you to turn in your Bibles to John the 15th chapter, where Jesus is going to say some things that no matter how long you look at what he says here, we'd have to admit that every moment it gets deeper and deeper, and it just never seems to end. What he says is quite spiritual and quite significant. And it's really so profound a message and a topic that, as I said, it is just a never-ending well for us to contemplate what he has in mind. When he talks to his apostles here in the upper room, just before he is to be taken from them, betrayed, to be put on trial throughout the night, and the next day to be crucified. He says in John 15 and verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire that they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, so that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Jesus, in his picture here of the vine, is so critical, is so significant a picture, and it is certainly a picture that we can be familiar with in terms of our reading of the Scriptures. And when he talked to his apostles about being the vine and his Father the vine dresser, there are things from the Old Testament that they were familiar with as far as this very image. But the image is certainly different when Jesus says it, and we're going to see that. But just to look at a couple of examples into the Old Testament, that God had a vine, and that vine was Israel. And the vine of Israel is discussed in the biblical record in Psalms 80 and verse 7, for example. The psalmist says, "Restore us, O God of hosts. Cause your face to shine, and we shall be saved. For you have brought a vine out of Egypt. You have cast out the nations and planted it. You prepared room for it and caused it to take deep root, and it filled the land." So we have the vine that is Israel. This branch, this vine that was taken out of Egypt. And it says, he says that you've cast out the nations. He's referring to those who lived in the land of Canaan. They were cast out so that God could plant this vine there in Canaan. He prepared the room for it, and he caused it to take deep root, and it filled the land. There's something so fascinating about Psalms 80 and what Jesus has been saying in the upper room. I just find such a bond between the 80th Psalm and some of the messages and themes that Jesus has been talking about, not just in terms of him being the vine. But here the psalmist is talking about restoration. Here the psalmist is talking about salvation in verse 7. He talks about the vine, of course, but he also talks about in verse 9 how God has prepared room for that vine. Room for the branches, room for the growth, and room for a filling up of the whole land of fruit, right, and strength. And what has Jesus been saying? What did he talk about at the beginning of chapter 14? And he talked about, you know, in my Father's house, there is much room. He says, I'm going to the cross contextually, I go to prepare room for you. I am the vine. He says that later, of course, verse 5, but in verse 1 of chapter 15, he says, I am the true vine. What does that tell us? It tells us there were other vines. And Psalm 80 has so much of the theme there in that upper room when there's the cry for salvation and restoration and room being prepared for the branches of the vine that was seen there in the olden days of the psalmist, and that Jesus is saying here now, I am the true vine. And I am preparing room for you as branches of that vine. I'm preparing room for you as a branch. I'm preparing room for your fruit in my Father's house, in the church. I am preparing room for you. So this is just astounding as he says, I am the true vine. And we know the falls of old Israel. We know that they had to be removed as the vine, how the harvester had to come in and throw it out because of the wild grapes, not cultivated. It did not live in accordance with God's word. Old Israel did not allow the word of God to be that which pruned it, which you know, cut off that which needed to be cut off for the next season, for the next harvest. Back in Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 1, Isaiah says, Now let me sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved regarding his vineyard. Here is a song about God and his vineyard that was Israel. He says, My well-beloved has a vineyard on a very fruitful hill. He, again, this is referring to God, He dug it up and cleared out its stones and planted it with the choicest vine. He built a tower in its midst. He also made a wine press in it. So he expected it to bring forth good grapes, but it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, please, between me and my vineyard. What more could I have done? What more could have been done, to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Why then, when I expected it to bring forth good grapes, did it bring forth wild grapes? Here's the frustration of God with Israel. What more could I have done? I did everything. You know, I gave it a good place, a good land. I gave it a good soil. I gave it a good word. I gave it all that it needed to be pruned and cultivated to bring forth good grapes, but it is just a wild mess. What more could I have done that I did not do, God says. And so the idea of the people of God being a part of a vine was not foreign to the apostles sitting there in the upper room with Jesus. And Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. That's something that they're quite familiar with, but still, although familiar with the picture, it really is such a new picture. As Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Jesus is the true vine. He is the true source of that life. And every branch in that vine is receiving its food, its energy, all of its resources of life and thriving. It is receiving that from Him. He says, I'm the vine, my Father is the vine dresser. You know, that's something that the Jews in the first century really attacked Jesus on, was how he would be talking in conversation and he'd say, my Father. And the Pharisees, they would get so angry at Jesus for saying, my Father, because no one else said that. And we've talked about this before. But no one, the Jews did not call God their father. That was not the kind of relationship that they thought or considered. With Jesus, he did have that relationship with God. And he calls him my father. Of course, again, as I said, that really irritated the Pharisees because they said, you're putting yourself on equal ground with God by calling him your father. So that really upset them. It angered them. But here Jesus says to his apostles, I am the vine, my father is the vine dresser. We have a relationship here that is like no other between Jesus and the Father in heaven. A unity in the vineyard. And as God being the vine dresser, he talked about in verse 2 that every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. The old King James says, you know, every branch that bears fruit, he cleanseth. I believe that was the old King James. And that follows with what he says in verse 3 when he says, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. The idea here by you are already clean is referring to how the branches have been cleaned or pruned by the vine dresser. Right? So that's what he means by you are already clean. They have been pruned. They have been cultivated. Each of these apostles are a part of the vine that is Jesus, the true vine. They've already been pruned. They've already been worked with in the cultivation of the vineyard. He points out in verse 3, you are already clean, referring to their pruning. He says, because of the word which I've spoken to you. And so it is by the word that they have been pruned. It is by the word that they have been judged and that they have seen by self-examination the corrections they need to take in their life to remain in Christ, to remain in the true vine. They have seen by the word what is needed and what is required. They've seen where they lack. They've seen where they have failed. And here they are with Jesus alone in that room. And they are there. Judas is not. He's gone. But they are there because they've been pruned by the word of Christ. Now Judas has not. As you see, he's going to be cast out of the vine. In verse 4, he says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. We have no other option. We cannot bear fruit for God unless we abide in the vine. That vine is Christ, the true vine. So there are plenty of vines out there that are untrue vines. There are plenty of things out there in the world we can grow as branches and we're bearing fruit, but we're not bearing the fruit of Christ. We're not bearing the fruit of the Spirit. That only comes from the true vine. Jesus is very specific here to say that there is no other option, that you cannot bear fruit of yourselves. You must be a part of the true vine. He says that in verse 5, he says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Without me you can do nothing. So I'll just put a visual up here up on the board of kind of a time lapse of a grapevine and see how it grows and to me, it is significant when I see something like this and I just realize how everything is coming from the vine. You know, these branches that start out so small and they grow and grow and grow and eventually bear forth heavy, heavy fruits This is all coming by the energy of the vine, by its source. It is the resource for the branches as they grow and grow and grow, and then ultimately they can start bearing fruit. It is just astounding what Jesus is talking about, and to see this relationship between the branches and the vine. And Jesus is very specific here when he continues to say things like, abide in me. And he says, he who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. And that's the key word here of the text, as he uses it quite often here, is abide. Abide. This, everything that we do is within his environment. We are a part of his house. We are a part of his family. You know, he said, I'm the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. And then he invites us to abide in him. That we would be a part of that. That we would be a part of the Father and the Son. That we could abide in them. Abide in our Creator. These are themes that are just almost too fantastic for us to comprehend with our minds. Look at what he's been saying. In verse 4, he said, abide in me and I in you. We're in him, he is in us. This is a relationship forged really like no other. In verse 7, he says, if my words abide in you. And this, again, is how we are pruned. Is how we continue to grow and continue to bear fruit year after year. We have to be pruned every year. This is not something where we say, look, we've got it. We've got it all figured out. We have to be pruned after harvest in order for good fruit to show up again the following season. My words must abide in you. This is how we are continually pruned by the Father in heaven as the vine dresser. Again, he says in verse 9 and in verse 10 as well, the idea of if you abide in my love, which I failed to read that. Verse 9, if you read there, it says, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. You see the connection here. He's telling us to do something in order to abide in him or to abide in his love. And then he goes on to say, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and I abide in his love. This is the connection. This is the relationship between Christ and his body, the church, the individual Christians that make up that body of Christ. This is the union we have with Jesus and the union that we share with Jesus with God. You know, when we're grafted in as sons. As the book of Galatians tells us quite clearly, he's adopted us as sons so that within our hearts, what does he say? But we have the same spirit of Christ crying out within our bodies, Abba, Father, Father. Why can we say Father when the Jews could not back in the day? Because that's not the relationship they had. Why do we have such a relationship with God that we can call him our Father and we can call ourselves his sons, his daughters? Because of Jesus. Because he humbly obeyed the will of his Father in heaven, abiding in his Father's love to be a sacrifice for our sins so that we can come and now abide in him and share the same relationship that he has with his Father. This is what this idea of the vine and the vine dresser and Jesus as the vine, we as the branches, all of this, this is what he's dealing with here, which is evident from his continual use of the word abide. We are all together. We are all sharing something. The Father God in heaven, our Savior Jesus, and we as the branches of the true vine, we are together. Our life is together. And so we are truly immersed as Christians in the environment of God and His Son. And our life, our sustenance, our living, as Paul told the Galatians, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Why? Because Christ is the true vine, and Paul was just a branch. He lives because of Christ. Salvation, eternity is all because Paul was a part of the true vine. And he received, by abiding with Christ, he receives all that life that the vine has to give. As we saw in that time lapse a moment ago, all that life that was just pouring forth from the vine into the branches. And they grew and grew and grew and ultimately put forth fruit. Abide. He then says, well, let me say something else here about verse 9 and 10 before we move on. This idea of love, loving God, that concept doesn't seem very foreign nowadays. There are all kinds of folks that talk about love, talk about loving God, loving Jesus. Those words are not foreign to our ears, but the way Jesus means them may very well be a foreign concept to us. We're bombarded with this idea of what certain religions would define as loving God or loving Jesus. But when we look at how Jesus talks about love, or how Jesus would define love, we might see something different than what we see out there in the world and the kind of love that's printed on people's t-shirts about Jesus. He said, if you keep, verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. There's something about real love here that Jesus points out. Something about real love that brings about a humble obedience. And if we're struggling to understand what it means to keep my commandments, to abide in his love, I think looking at the example of Jesus is the easiest way for us to understand this. And you see what he says in his own words there in the middle, verse 10. He says, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So Jesus lives in an atmosphere of the Father's love. By living in such a way, he hears what his Father has to say. He hears it. He honors it. He honors the context of the words. He honors the context of the conversation. He's not looking to twist. He's not looking to change. He's not looking to alter anything. He's not looking to inject some of his own things. He's not looking to say, okay, I'll do, I hear you, Father, on what you've said here. I'd also like to do this. He's not saying, I hear you, Father. I think I can do this in a better way, a different way, in more ways than what you've said. This is the love that we find in the religions of the whole world. It's not the love that Jesus is talking about here. To love the Father, to abide in the Father's love, is an individual that really does hear what the Father has to say. Without imputing their own ideas or own opinions or what they think is best or what they think is would be good to do. But to love the Father and to love the Son, Jesus describes it, you'll be able to see it. It's not just words, not just I love you. It's not just I love you, Lord, I love you, Jesus. This is something seen in the life of a humble servant who, just like Jesus, came to the earth. He says, I abide in my Father's love. Look at the example of Christ. He did the will of his Father. That's the love that he had for him. He honored his Father. He honored everything his Father had to say. Humble obedience is what Jesus is driving at here when he says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. The first fruit of the Spirit that we find in Galatians 5:19 is love. The next one is joy and then peace. It's interesting that here in John 15, these elements of the fruit of the Spirit are found right here in this text, as he's just talked about what true love is. What's the next fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy. If you look there in verse 11, what does he say? He says, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. So, when Jesus says, here's my commandment, love one another as I have loved you, he is adding more to this picture. It started out by him, the true vine, his Father as the vine dresser. They abided in each other's love. Jesus came to this earth and showed us what a life looks like that is fully engulfed in the atmosphere of the Father's love. So, you know, none of this, oh, I love Jesus, I love God, and then we live our lives completely opposite of the way Jesus came to live his life. We have the vine, the true vine, we have the Father, and then we have us coming in, abiding in that relationship as well, and sharing in common all these same things, and all of this love, and all of this joy. These are, as we're seeing, is evident, Jesus is not talking in terms of the English dictionary definition of love, or the English dictionary definition of joy. He is talking about very deep, very spiritual matters. And then he adds more to the equation, where it's not just the Father and the Son and then us coming and sharing in that, but he shows us the realization that there's others who are going to be coming and sharing in that as well. And now we have even more to love. There's even more individuals in this relationship of the vine, the true vine. More branches. More love. He says, love one another, each branch loving the other branches, and vice versa. Love one another. Love the source. And love the fruit that comes by it. Jesus says, you can do nothing apart from me. All the fruit, all the work the labors of a Christian life is because Jesus has provided the source. He has provided the power, by the power of God, that we can have this kind of life, sinlessness, forgiven of our trespasses, and walking above reproach, walking without guilt in this life, in this world, and bearing the same fruits by the same works of God Himself. There's real love here, and there is real joy here. Joy in the thriving, joy in the life, joy in the source, joy in those blessings, and joy in all the fruit that we see coming from each and every one of the branches. Jesus says, I've said these things to you for this purpose. Verse 11. I've said these things to you, number one, that my joy may remain in you. Number two, that your joy may be full. Again, he's not talking about the way the world looks at joy or the way the world seeks to find joy in something or someone or what have you. Full joy is what he's offering his apostles here. But not just his apostles, but anyone who will come and be grafted in to the true vine as branches. He is offering full joy, true and complete happiness. Well, that's all that anybody wants on planet Earth, right? That's all that we want as human beings, is to be happy. To always be happy. We don't want unhappiness. We have great disdain for unhappiness. We don't want any part of it. We just want to be happy. When will we learn? As thousands of years have gone on, and thousands of generations of men, one after the other, all wanting to be happy. We all have that goal in mind. And yet we can't find it. We find violence. We find oppression. We find hatred. We find anger. We find temptations to sin and sin causing problems after problems after problems in our life. Our sins affecting other people's lives. Our sins affecting loved ones, on and on and on. There is no joy apart from the true vine. He says, he's talking about real joy here, not one that fleets, you know, not one that is here today, gone tomorrow. I've spoken these things to you that my joy will remain in you and your joy will be full. First of all, what does he mean that my joy will remain in you? He's showed them how to live. By his word, they've been pruned. They are now ready for growth. Being pruned by his word. They're now ready to grow. They're now ready soon to bear forth fruit. Not their own fruit. Fruit that comes by being in the vine of Jesus. His source, his power, his things. Not our things. I've spoken these things that my joy may remain in you. That we as branches of the vine would take from the same word, the same example that is Jesus and the joy that he had, that his joy would fill into, pour into the juices, right? The juices of his joy pouring into all of the branches of the vine. And we know what his joy looked like. It's, again, not a joy that the world would look at and say, yeah, there's happiness. We just don't know what happiness is. We just don't know what joy is until we've come into a relationship with God and come to understand our Creator and who He is. In Hebrews chapter 12, it speaks shortly of the joy that was in Jesus that should remain. He says, I want this joy to remain in you as well. Where the writer tells us to look unto Jesus in this context of endurance. He says, look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him who endured such hostility from sinners against Himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. We don't need to become weary. We don't need to become discouraged as Christians. We live in a hostile world, no matter how we look at it. We don't need to become weary or discouraged in this. We need to look to Jesus because He's real joy, and having His joy remain in us will make our joy full. It will make our joy complete. And you look at the joy that He had, and what is it centered around? It's centered around the source. It's centered around the Father. And it goes back to what He had said in verses 9 and 10, and the idea that in verse 10 that He says, keep My commandments and you will abide in My love, is just as I've kept My Father's commandments and abide in His love. The joy that was set before Him, the joy to do what God does, the joy to live in the character of God, the joy to live reflecting the glory of God. This was the joy of Jesus, to do His Father's will, to abide in the Father's love. And He says, I spoke these things to you so that this joy that I have would remain in you as well. Looking at Him as our example. He's more than our example. He's the true vine. We're connected to Him. He is our source for everything that matters. Eternal life. Eternal life is in this vine. And it passes into and feeds every single branch that is a part of this vine. So I hope we can see that although this truly, in my opinion, we're just scratching the surface of the depths of what Jesus is getting at here in John 15, I hope we can see how deep this, you know, begins to go, and for us to continue in our walk with God, to be a part of this vine, and to continue to learn, to continue to see, to continue to be pruned by the Word of God, to continue to grow, and year after year continue to produce the fruits of God, otherwise known as the fruits of the Spirit, love being first. Joy and peace, patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. If you've yet to come unto the Lord for salvation, you know in your mind, you're resolved in your mind today to do so, then we invite you to come to Christ, the true vine. He's invited us all to be grafted in, to thrive in life and enjoy in Him. We must repent of our sins. That won't do. Sin won't do here to be a part of the true vine. Sin won't do to find joy, real joy. Repent. Confess that He's your Savior. Be baptized for the remission of your sins and continue to grow in Him. If this describes your need, then won't you please come and let us know while together we stand and sing.